Blog Talk Radio.
I remember when I was growing up, I used to hear the old folks sing this song. Oh, I didn't understand what they were singing about, because I really didn't know what they were going through. But now that I've grown up to become a man, I understand what they meant when they sang this song.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I get so tired, I get so weak, I look at the graveyard sometimes and I say, who is full of young peoples?
And the only mm-hmm. thing I look at myself sometimes, I say, you know, Brother D, the only thing don't get old is a dead young one. Did you have a relationship with the Lord before you left here? Sister and brother, I'm going to give you a verse. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you two verses, and I'm going to turn this over to the speaker. I'm not going to hold you long today. I got get ready. I'm going to give you two verses. Here come. One, A.T., he said his word, T. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, you got to believe in him. You got to catch it now. You got to believe in the Lord to have everlasting life. He said whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. But Tim, you, come on now. This is my last one, In the book of Romans. I love this one.
It says
the wages of sin. Now, I'm still at work right now. As I put the little truck in gear, every time I stick it in the gear, I count ching. I go ching, 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 ching. So I'm counting my money every time I hook up to a box and drop it. Well, the Bible says that the wages of sin, see, you're going to get paid. You're going to get paid, something, brother. I'm going to get paid come Friday. I get a check. And it looks pretty good when I get it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But he got a gift for you. See, look here. I just told you, he says, if you believe it in him, see, you got to believe in him. That's a gift coming for you believing in him. He said, for the wages of sin is death. He said, but. You know, you got to watch them buts. He said, but. the gift of God. See, you got a gift coming in. I hope you all catch this. You have a gift coming to you. The wages of sin is death, bro. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now look what he said now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see the gift?
Yeah.
Sister, bro, do you see the gift? See, he gave you a gift. He said, but the wages of sin is death. He said, but the gift of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Only. Come on, man.
But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. We're going to ask Marty if she would lead us with the word of prayer. But I tell you, I'm going to hold you over there. I tell you that. Y'all didn't believe me. I'm going to stay long. If she would give us a word of prayer. And after the word of prayer, you will hear the speaker himself. We're going to get on down the road. The Bible says do things decency and in order. And Brother T promised he wasn't going to hold you. T, will you give us a word of prayer, please?
Praise to God. Father God, this afternoon, in the name of your son, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blood that you keep us covered with each and every day of our lives. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father God, and we just ask you to continue to bless us, dear God. Father God, and we thank you for it, dear God. Continue to bless Brother Don, Brother D, Brother Tim. Father God, if we do the best we can to give your word, God. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus, we ask you to bless everybody, the sick, the needy, the young, the old, the poor, the homeless. Father God, we ask you to go into the hospital room, dear God. Father God, we ask you to touch the body of the sick, Father God. The one that don't feel like they're going to make it. Father God, we know you are a God. We know you are a doctor. We know you are a lawyer. We know you are a teacher. We know you are everything that we need. Father God, and we ask you to bless, Father God, in the hospital room, in the schoolhouse, dear God, on the school ground, Father God. Father God, keep those children covered in the blood of Jesus. Father God, protect them. Send your angels, dear God. Give them charge concerning them, Father God. In the name of your son, Jesus. Father God, we ask you to bless the world, dear God. Father God, give us peace, dear God. Father God, put more love in our hearts. Father God, and we know you're able. Father God, we ask you to bless the bereaved family, Father God. Father God, give them that peace, Father God, to let them know that they will see their loved one again. Father God, we thank you, Father God, and we praise your holy name. Father God, we ask you to bless the speaker, strengthen him, Father God. Father God, give him the word that you have them him to give. Father God, bless, Father God, that the word will touch somebody's heart. Father God, and we know you're able, Father God. Anoint his tongue, Father God, to give that message like never before. Father God, we forever thank you and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Next voice you hear would be the speaker himself.
Brother Dog, for me.
My sister's little boy came into the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper he'd been writing on. And after wiping her hands on an apron, she took it in her hands and she read it, and this is what it said. For more in the yard, $5. If I make it up my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. And playing with little brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the trash, $1. And for getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, she looked at him standing there and expecting, and 1,000 memories flashed through her mind. So she picked up the pen and turned the paper over, and this is what she wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, oh, it inside me, no charge. For the nights I sat up with you, no charge. For the time and the tears and the cost through the years, there is no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. When I think about that, I think about the day that Jesus went out on Calvary and gave his life as a ransom for me. When I think on the words, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I like to think that the very minute that he shedded his blood, my debt was paid in full. And I want you to know today, when you add it all up, the full cost of real love is no charge.
No charge.
My. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm trying to hold the tears back because that song lets me know that Mom's has done so much for me. And I just say thank you, Lord. The songwriter said, no charge for real love. And when we recognize that what our moms have done for us, all that we can do is say, paid in full. So I'm trying to keep my eyes together because God has blessed me. Now, I'm going to get through it now. God has blessed me to still have my mom, 88 years old, and she lives by herself with her little dog and does what she has to do. But I just want to tell each and every one of you, I hope this message encourages the moms, those nameless heroes with a heart of love. This is our pre-Mother's Day message. And I just wanted to tell my brothers and sisters that we want to thank the ladies and the women who have influenced our lives on a daily basis. And today, we just want to say thank you for all that you have done. a heart of love, and we know that we give a little definition of mom, a hero, yeah, and sometimes unappreciated. We thank God for the nameless heroes in our lives. Today we look around and we see the coronavirus, this pandemic, and we have people who are on the front line, these first responders, heroes. They are nurses and doctors and paramedics and police officers and firemen and volunteers, essential workers and caregivers. These are women who are moms and put their life on the line. And many of them, we don't even know. They have no name, but they are heroes because they're putting their life on the line to serve others. And we must, and we might not even know them, and we may never know them, but I just wanted to let you know that they are nameless heroes that have made a difference and touched each and every one of our lives. Every one of our lives has been touched some kind of way. So I just wanted to let you know, my brothers and sisters, that we want to give our moms, the ladies who are maybe not moms, but dedicate themselves to helping some child or someone in their family. And I'm just trying to tell you that this Sunday is for moms. We're going to appreciate them. And I just wanted to tell you, they influence our lives each and every day. So we want to just say thank you. We want to say thank you, because sometimes they never even speak a word for all that they do for us. I want to read you a story in Matthew 15. It tells us of a mother who in Scripture is a nameless person, a nameless woman to us, but her daughter, she is someone who moves to place a great faith and give us an example. And this reads as this in Matthew 15, starting at like 21 and through 28. Leaving this place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out for after us." But I heard her say, "Lord, Son of David." I didn't hear her call the disciples. See, this is when we see that it is a carnal thinking, not a spiritual thinking with the heart of Jesus. He answered, "And I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and kneeled before him. Look at that humility.
Well,
"Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "Is it not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs?" "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She knew that the crumbs would from the master's table would make everything okay. Just like the woman who had the issue of blood, she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." See, that's the faith that the mom had in Jesus. She came to him no matter what happened. And so let me finish. He said, "Then Jesus answered, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." Matthew 15:21-28, that's the NIV. What I'm trying to say, my brother and sister, you got to have faith. You got to have love. You got to have determination to continue to press through and push through to get to Jesus, because you know all is wrapped up in the name of Jesus. So I'm here to tell you today, my brother, the mother had a love, and that she knew that her child was sick. She knew her child was possessed with demons. She knew that the answer was in Jesus. Just like Nicodemus said, there ain't no way in the world a man can do the things that you do, but God be with you. But he didn't even realize that Jesus was God. And so here I am today, my brother and sister, telling you about this woman, this mother who had a desire that Jesus would heal her daughter. We read that Jesus went to this region of Tyre and Sidon, which was Gentile city north of Israel, in order to get away from the crowd for a time. However, I believe that it was also a connection. Was a connection to the Canaanite. It was the Canaanite woman. I just wanted to let you know that Jesus just don't go anywhere. Jesus just didn't do anything. There was a reason for why he did what he did. And it's not unusual to do and be caught up in things like this, because don't you remember the woman at the well? He told all about her life, and the man that you with ain't your husband either. Then you remember that the woman that was caught in adultery, where was the man? But they had her on trial, and Jesus kneeled down and wrote in the sand. Looked up and said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "I have none. Go and sin no more." See, this is what I'm trying to say. It was so that we can see that this woman's faith was being tested. Jesus said, "Is it right for we just take the bread from the children and throw it to the dog?" See, you got to remember the Jews at one time were our God's chosen people, but they clogged up the channel. They messed up because they started looking at themselves in their flowing robes and gold chains, and that their positions in the church as spiritual and religious leaders. What they did, they were supposed to tell the people, the Gentiles, the whole world about their God, the true and living God. That's the one God.
All right, man.
That's the one that they should have been talking about, but instead they started talking about themselves. They became jealous of even Jesus. They wanted to crucify. They wanted him dead. They wanted him off the scene. But see, this mom, this woman, this Canaanite, not even a Jew, or what we would call, they would call them dogs because they didn't measure up to them. They were superior and high and lifted up. They were better than everybody else, and called them dogs and things like that. And so what I'm trying to tell my brother and sister, this ain't the first time Jesus has been caught up in some things like this. He was at the well and told this woman all the husbands and men you had in your life, you know, go and tell them. She went to running, and next thing I know, the woman caught in adultery, set free, acquitted of all her sin. See, that's what I'm trying to say. We had that carnal thinking where they wanted to trap Jesus and get her, and then she was a casualty of war. She was a issue there that needed to be dealt with, but yet they really wanted to get Jesus. It is.
All right, man.
It was so we could see the woman's faith being tested and her perseverance in faith. And she had her perseverance developed into great faith, and her daughter is healed. You see that? But see, the thing is that we don't see. Some people have faith. Some people have strong faith. But this woman had great faith that the master said, wow, even with insult, all the things that you are not even a Jew and you press through, you push through to get to me. I just wanted to see exactly where you were at. I wanted to see if you really knew me. I really want to know if you just trying to get me, think of me as a Santa Claus that's giving you gifts, but I want to know if you really believe in me. The Gentile woman, mother wanted her daughter to be healed. Wanted her child to be saved. She came to the master and asked him and threw herself down to worship him and ask him, have mercy upon me. Don't you know that my daughter, see what she did? She put herself behind. She put others before herself. She put her daughter up there
she
to be healed, even before herself. See, we got to realize, I know I'm way ahead of myself. Sometimes moms will go hungry to make sure her babies eat. Her moms may not go to work with a new outfit, but she'll make sure her kids are clean and got new clothes to get ready to go to school. She'll sacrifice and work two jobs to make sure they go to school and be able to have the things that she does. She'll do anything to help protect her children, just like a mama bear will protect her cubs, lay down her life for a big male bear, because he'll kill the bear, the little cub, in order to be with her. But see, this is what a mom will do. She'll lay her life down. And these are the things that we have to see, her faith that Jesus could heal. Isn't that something? She wasn't even a Jew. And then the God of the Jews, she knew. Jesus' reputation preceded him. And she saw and she knew that if I get to him, my child will be healed.
I just touched the hem of his garment.
All right, man.
Lord.
Come on,
Brother Tim. Come on.
Therefore, for the Canaanite mother, the cost is something that she was willing to pay. See, this is what I want to know. See, this perseverance in faith comes with a cost. You just, in order to develop, you see what she had to go through. And that when you have this faith, you have to, it costs you something to develop. And the Canaanite mom was willing to pay and willing to do whatever it took to get her daughter healed. And see, you can see that she became humble. She laid down. She kneeled before him, called him Lord, begged for mercy. And see, God hates a proud spirit. Most who come to Jesus have a need. And this Canaanite woman, this mother was no different. See, you ever notice something, Sister Mary and Brother D? When people get in a scrape, when they get in a situation that they can't handle, they're ready to throw in the towel. They don't know what else to do. Now they want to run. And they
Nowhere to turn.
How low do you have to get before you look up to it with praise and honor? But a mom's will know. All you got to do is look in the church, see what's going on, and you'll know her moms will take her children to church. Her moms will stay up all night and do their hair. Her moms will stay up and get everything ready for Sunday so that she can continue to teach her kids and take them to Sunday school and do the things that she do. So this woman is no different. She desired to see her daughter healed and delivered from this terrible suffering that she see. The devil don't care who he take out. He wants to do it. But all I want to tell all the women who have heart of love are heroes. The Canaanite mother is no different from the moms of today. They desire to see their sons, daughters, husbands, family, and members and others that they will be healed and be saved. You women who have no children. Now, I want to make sure I emphasize that. See, ladies who have no children many times are nameless heroes displaying their hearts of love as you go out and help people all over and you care for them and you take care of your husbands and things like that. Many mothers often go unnoticed in what they do. And some have gone for a noticeable time, quite a while. The Canaanite woman in this story humbles herself before Jesus and the disciples and others. In other words, what I'm saying, sometimes when we get on this show, Brother D and Sister Marin and Brother Dahl, sometimes we get made fun of. Sometimes they laugh at us. Sometimes they criticize us and point the finger at us.
Look out,
man.
Look out.
Praise God. Come on now.
Put filth on us, and they do all that. But the woman, she humbled herself. Even before all of them, she went before Jesus and the disciples, and she cried out, Jesus, for have mercy and for the healing of her daughter. Even her daughter was unaware of what she was doing. See, that's what happens sometimes. Even I think back how many years in my life my mom prayed for me. She shed tears for me. And I remember one day I told Brother D the story. My mom said to me one day, I was so wild, reckless, and abandoned. I did everything in bad that I thought I was bad enough to do. But my mom came to me one day and she said, son, I can't even believe that you're my son. All the things that you're doing, how could you be my child? And
come
I
on,
said,
come on now.
At times we have been aware of what the ladies in our lives have done for us, and we want to acknowledge you and thank you for all that you have done for us. How you have cried out to Jesus on our behalf. See, and not just on your behalf, but on our behalf. Lord, save my son.
Yeah.
Lord, save my child.
Amen.
Lord, watch over them and protect
Amen.
Them as they come and go. Moms, you do so much. And you never consider
yes, they do.
The cost of your own
yes,
welfare.
They do. Mm-hmm.
But rather, you consider the welfare of others. The Bible says that to put others before yourself. Jesus came
yourself.
Not to be served, but to serve and give his life
a
ransom for many. You sacrifice, sleep, and pray, and call out to Jesus for all of us without our knowledge. You just do what you do, Ma. You pray. And Brother D, I heard him say that he could hear his mom singing. He could hear his mom praying in it for her family. Yes, Lord, we say thank you. You are a woman of great faith, moms. The moms are women of great faith. This is exactly what the Canaanite moms did. Jesus
does
not answer or acknowledge her. Jesus had a purpose for not answering the woman. It was not to discourage her, but rather it was to get her to press in, to press through, to get through. This is what we have to do. And this persevere to increase her faith through the trials and the pain of life, which makes us strong. We call on him. We see him bring us through things. It gets us stronger and stronger in our faith. And to trust God. My mom took me to school. My mom took me to Sunday school. My mom's prayed for me and cooked my meal and watched over me. Yeah, sometimes we have to learn to listen, and we have to be introduced to God, because we know, and moms know, that God is a healer, and that Jesus, he's a healer, and he's a God. He's a protector. He makes the crooked road straight. I have a question for you today. Moms, do you continue to pray and seek for a move of God in a situation, just like the Canaanite moms did? Do you keep praying and pressing in for God to answer? Or do you stop after asking once or twice and then you move on? You walk away. You throw in the towel. But see, the Canaanite mom, she kept pressing forward. She, even when he asked her, do I give the bread of the children to a dog? The word of God, do I give this to you? The heart of this Canaanite mom was to see her daughter healed, and that the heart of love drove her to seek Jesus. See, you got to have a compassionate heart. You can't have a heart of stone. You got to have a heart of love. And that's what she
Tell
had.
It,
see, Jesus
Tell
was
it.
The answer. He was
Tell
looking
it.
To be her
Tell
Savior. He was willing
yeah.
to be
yeah.
the daughter's
yeah.
healer. But you got to seek
yes,
him sometimes. You got to
yeah,
get up
speaking.
Off your couch.
He's
you got to get up and go out there. You may have to go through the trials, the highways and the byways. You may have to get up. It might be even in your own home.
All right.
It drove her to seek Jesus,
Pretty
overcoming
good.
Life's negative obstacles that got in
yeah.
her way, the words and people that might discourage her. Just like the Canaanite woman, we must overcome life's obstacles. The Bible says in Genesis that evil is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. That's what the Bible says. We never take silence to be no.
Yes, it is.
Just like Brother D had a song, and it said that the songwriter said, Jesus will never say no. Yeah, silence don't mean that the answer is no.
Yes,
it doesn't mean that it's
Come on,
no.
my brother.
We
yes,
need
sir.
To reject
yes,
negative words and disregard the physical and emotional and financial
Amen.
Religious
Amen.
Obstacles that
yes.
will keep you from Jesus. Brother D told
Not
me one time,
come,
he
man.
Said, religion will keep you out of heaven because it'll get you
yes,
all tangled
it will.
Up
yes,
and
it will.
So that's
yes,
what I want to
will.
Tell
yes,
my brothers. Don't let things get you all tied up and banged up and knocked out. No, the answer immediately does not mean that the answer is no. It just may simply mean not yet.
Not yet.
God's
come
way
on,
of
now. Come
testing
on,
your faith that it may be the way to get to excrete your faith. You know what that means? To discharge, to let it come out of you. That's what he said. I want you to speak your faith. I want the faith that you have down inside of you for me to come out. I want somebody to see and to know who you're talking about. The man of God, the one that can heal just by speaking the word.
I want you
to consider that God may answer your prayer, but just not in the manner that you expect. He does things in mysterious ways. You never know how in the world, how could this I go through make it beneficial to me? Yeah, the Canaanite mom was willing to chance rejection. Jesus could have rejected her, told him, get away from me. You're a dog. You're not a Jew, but that ain't in his heart. Jesus was in love for everyone. And by Jesus and his disciples in the order, she sees her daughter healed. See, when you have faith in Jesus, you can look into the future in a sense. What I'm saying, you say, I'm going to thank you in advance because I already know Jesus is going to take care of you. I know it's going to be all right in the name of Jesus. That's why he told you to have faith. And then if you don't pray, then don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray. So that's what
don't
I'm trying
pray.
To tell my brothers. The disciples in this order, she knew that if I can just make it to Jesus, that my daughter would be healed. She didn't go to the disciples. She went to Jesus. He said that we need to send her away because she's the one. She's messing with us. She's aggravated. She's upsetting us. She keep calling out to she called out to Jesus. Lord, Lord, the Son of David. Jesus was calling. That's who she was calling out to. At times, we may appear like we are being rejected by Jesus. It is simple. And simply wanting to be developed, and that's what he wants. He wants to simply develop you as a person of great faith. Jesus wants us. He wants to use us. Here you go right here. I know you're going to like this. Jesus wants to use us to show other
a person of faith
walks through difficult and things and trials and tribulations and still have hope. What you might consider as rejection, but just by maybe God, it's his perfect timing. You call it rejection. God calls it his perfect timing. Look back and you can see that God's hand
perfect,
is in a situation. When we look back and we heard the story that we looked and Jesus was carrying me. I looked down and I only saw one set of footprints because he was carrying We need to press in my moms and mothers and women who have no children, those who are willing to sacrifice and be heroes, unnamed heroes. We need to press in. Press through and keep praying and keep believing and keep trusting in Jesus. The trouble and the trial that you go through, that you are facing, all they do there is make you stronger. You need to press through.
All right, man.
You need to press through. You need to press into Jesus. And then what I'm saying, try, what you got to do is you got to go and try every door and see which one will open. And that's why Dog had the song that he said, when the gates swing open, I'll just walk on in. And what we got to do is we got to keep praying and keep believing and keep trusting the Lord that he will open the door that he desires for you. And see, you can walk through, and this is exactly what the Canaanite mom was doing. I want to challenge you to call out to Jesus and pray. Cry out for mercy, oh God, and don't get discouraged if you don't hear from him or anything immediately. Moms, you are our heroes. I thank you for praying for me and for us, because all of us have to say it. I'm trying not to make it personal. And I said, thank you for pressing in and pressing through and not walking away and giving up on prayer. thank you for your selfless acts of love. See, that love that's down there, we found out in Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13, that what real love is, love is not puffed up, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it keeps no record of wrong. See, that's what real love is. Thank you for your faith in Christ and how it has touched our lives. Moms, you have touched our lives by teaching and guiding and showing us how to pray without being embarrassed and things, teaching us how to trust in the Lord. Let me encourage all of you to be spiritual, unnamed heroes who pray for those who need a touch of God in their life. I tell Brother D all the time, I thank God and I ask him to touch each and every one of us with the fingertip of love. Just a touch from God, love, man, it makes it all right. I just wanted to tell you that be a woman of faith who calls out to God. Press through, press in, and believe God for a miracle. I just wanted to tell my brothers and sisters today to tell your mom that you love them and that we thank God for them and that we thank them for the love that's down in their heart. Thank them for being unnamed heroes. Thank you for unconditional love. Thank you for showing and introducing me to Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you for my mom. I want to tell you thank you, Lord, for her doing what she did. No charge that she said, no charge. For real love, I realize that she has poured out her love for me for 88 years. So I just say right now, Ma, no matter what you do or what I do, the debt has been paid in full. Thank you, Mom, for your love. I want to encourage all the moms, those unnameless ones that are heroes with a heart of love. Only a mother can do what she does. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for the Canaanite moms who loved her daughter so much that she wanted her healed. She could have just put her out and said, no, she's possessed, but she wanted to show real love. And that's what Jesus did. He came down through 42 generations and went to the cross. He could have came down, but he loved her so much he stayed. He could have called one angel down. One angel destroyed this whole earth, but he did it with love.
Right.
And I said, thank you that he loved me so much that he gave his life
for
me.
Lord.
So I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for a mom that introduced me to Christ. Thank you, Lord, for a mom that prayed for me. I just want to tell you thank you.
Thank you.
No charge for real love, Lord. No charge. Paid in full. Thank you, Ma. Thank you so much for what you guys do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Brother D, Sister Marin, in your hands.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my mother.
Yes.
That's all Brother Tim was trying to get you to see. Brother Tim was trying to tell you. Tell God thank you. Tell Mom, I love you. Couldn't be no me without you. Sister Shirley Caesar said it best. She said, for the 9 months that I carried you.
Yes, Lord.
No charge.
For
the
price
and the knowledge and the cost of your college, she said, no charge. And when you think about college, it was a very expensive deal. But Sister Shirley says, no charge.
All right, man.
You ought to tell Mama thank you. You should just, you know, sometimes I catch myself, I promise you I do this, I catch myself riding along with a picture in my hand sometimes, just having a little conversation with her, telling Mom thank you. Mother's Day is coming. Mother's Day is coming. What will you do for your mom? Will you do something for Mom that you've never done before? Are you willing to and tell Mom you love her? We thank you. We thank you. But he's not going to hold you long today. I promise you I'm not. But he's not going to hold you long. We thank you for the time you've given us. We thank you for listening to the word. We hope and pray that there was something said in the course of the day's service that would reach someone's heart, would touch you, to make you want to say to yourself, how do I get to know this man that make them shout and cry like they do? I know they're grown men, they're mm-hmm. grown women. How do I get to know this man? What is it about this man that upsets them? Like Jeremiah says, just like fire. Shut up in my bones.
Yeah.
Songwriter said it, just won't leave me alone. How do I get
all
to
right,
know
man.
This man myself? Tell mm-hmm. God thank you. I tell thank you all the time. Come on, T.
Hey, man, I just enjoyed everything, Brother Tim. I just thank God for the message. Thank God for all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers. And I just pray that God just enrich you more and more day by day. I see you, Brother Tim.
Amen. Now, you heard me say I wasn't going to hold you long because I truly believe in the Word of God. The Word of God says everything
amen.
Should be done in decency. And in order. So the next voice that you hear will be Brother Dog himself. But before I give it to Brother Dog, I want to say something here, and then I'm going to get out of the way. You ever notice how you can be a trendsetter? See, a trendsetter is someone that does something first, and people follow. We should be happy when we see someone marking themselves after us or taking a pattern after us, doing what we did or what we started. Be a trendsetter. Be a trendsetter for the Lord. Be a trendsetter for mankind. That man, I was in it, let your life so shine that man may see your good work. See, when you're a trendsetter, man see what you did and take it as good,
oh, yeah.
and they want to do it themselves.
Uh-huh.
Amen? Amen. Come
Amen.
On, brother dog. Come on in here, brother dog. Come on in here.
Child sitting on mother's knee. Yes, she told me all about the Bible, that I might have victory. Well, she told me when I was young, this old race gonna be hard to run. Mother bow in the morning, she prayed for me.
Oh yeah.
Now when children go away, mother prays every night and day. She'll say, Lord, take care of my children and don't let them go astray. Oh, she's so often down on her knee.
Yes, Lord.
My Lord, help my children, please. Mother bowed on in the morning. She prayed for me.
Did she do it? Did she
well, mother bow,
yes,
mother bow, she prayed for me. Oh, mother bow, my mother bow, prayed for me.
Oh,
Lord,
yes. Ah,
come
on.
Come on in there, Pajo.
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
How's it going?
Nice, Tim. How's nice? Brother D, all y'all, Sister Mary. Y'all seen
that
song, dog? I seen that thing about something. Sunday night, my mama called me 12 o'clock at night, talking about something.
Yes.
Did I call her? She know, doing what I hadn't called her. She just want to see, had I made it back in the house?
You just want to hear
you
the train. Amen. 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 A mother's love.
Yeah, 80 years old. Going to be 80 years old this month, and she's still calling chicken on me.
Yes, Lord.
Well, praise God. Praise the Lord.
Through the years, I keep on joining.
Oh, yes, Lord.
But then the spirit started hitting me, and I'm on here mad with Sister Mary, and we'll talk about that later on. Him and everything cool now. I'm good now. I had to go back and pray on it.
Like,
she said, go back and pray on it.
I love you.
She said, go back and pray on it. So I was back and prayed on it. So we good to go, and everything good. But I want to thank Brother Tim for that powerful sermon today, and like Brother Debo said, the powerful input he said, and we got a lot of it. And but we throwing out peace offers and everything, and it was a good sermon. And that song that right there, I wanted Tim to do it. And Tim, I meant to tell Tim, I did, when you got a cough, clear your throat, close your mic or put it on mute or something. I didn't want to set him on the air, but he keep doing it. So, but anyway, that was a good song that when the gates open, I wanted Tim to really break that down, because just like I tell everybody, a good comedian, the best comedian is not there. It's the comedian that tells jokes about life happenings and life things that people can relate to. So a good pastor or a good preacher or a good, however you want to bring the word to, about the Lord, is something that you can relate to. See, when you preach about things that you can relate to, people can understand it. Sometimes you can speak on the level that you speak on, and I might be on a lower level and I don't understand it. But if you speak on the level that a thing that I can you know, relate to, well, I can get that message, Sister Mary. I can get that message. And before we get out of here, and Sister Mary, when I get through playing this song, you got to come on and tell us what happened tomorrow, since you failed to tell us what's going on tomorrow. But I'm gonna let it slide today, though. But Brother D, you did a good job today, Brother D. But we're gonna dedicate this one to our brother Reverend Brian, Brother Eric. We're gonna dedicate this one, Brother Eric. And after this here, Sister Mary, you close us out by whatever you got to close us out with. This one going out for Brother Reverend Brian, y'all. I'm feeling so the best.
Yes.
Drawing nearer.
Man. Amen.
Every day. Lord, I'm willing.
Yes.
Willing to run on.
Every day. All the way.
I want to go.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Whoa, all the way.
Yes.
If I bother.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Why not try?
I don't try.
Yes.
Ooh.
Don't be angry, Lord.
Just don't be angry.
You get out and tell us what they mean by all the way. Tell us what they mean before you close out. What do you mean by all the way, Sister Mary?
She said she willing to run on all the way. She's not going to give up through all that she goes through, and through her trials and her tribulation, through the backstab and through the fight that she goes through. She's not going to give up on God. She trusts God. So she's going to run all the way.
If all the way.
Times we'll turn around and we'll go back. But she said, I'm going to run on all of the way. I'm willing.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be willing. You got to have that faith to know. As long as I'm willing, God is going to bring me through.
Okay.
Willing to run on all the way. Glory be to God.
All right. All right. Amen. All right, Sister Mary. Get us out of here. Get us out of here. God, appreciate
Amen.
It, Brother
Jim,
Brother,
want to
Brother D. Outstanding. Outstanding show.
I just want to announce on tomorrow night we will be back with a time for reflection. And we're encouraging everyone to come out because God is so good. And thank God that he blesses this show each and every Wednesday night. And it is my will that God bless me to touch your heart each and every Wednesday night. So come out same time, same station tomorrow night.
Yes, Lord.
And we just, Father God, we just thank you again for today, for the message that we heard for on today, Father God. We thank you, God. Father God, and we pray that this message touched somebody's heart today. We thank you, God, for Brother D, Brother Dog. We thank you because you're such a good God. We thank you for blessing us to see another Mother's Day. We thank you for the ones who have their mother living, Father God. We ask you to just bless them, God. Father God, the ones whose mother's dead, Father God, give them strength, Father God. And bless them because we know we enjoyed our mother while they were living. And Father God, we just ask you to continue to bless. Bless Brother Pajo and his mother, Father God. Strengthen them, Father God. Lord, we know you're able, Father God. And we will continue to call on your holy name, Father God. But truly, we are willing to run on all the way. Father God, we thank you for being so merciful, for being a just God. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all things. And just continue to keep us covered in the blood of Jesus. Father God, we thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen.
Sometimes when I get discouraged, I get on my knees and I say, Jesus,
oh,
Lord Jesus,
oh, Lord,
whatever you do, don't leave.
Come on, Brother D, you want to say something? Brother D, Brother D, you want to say something? Brother D, you want to say something? Brother D.
Amen. I'm like my tea. I want you all to just love on your mothers, those that have them, those mothers that's gone home. She's still mom. She's like, Brother D, I still talk to her. Talk to your mom on Mother's Day. Let her know all that she did for you. Let her know that you turned out to be something. You know, one thing our mom
right now
is more words so than anything about that, that Lord would keep his arms around my child and that my child would turn out to be something. I tell mom sometimes, I say, I'm okay, mom. I'm okay. And I truly believe that she's smiling. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'll be like a dead man walking. I won't have no direction at all. And that's why I keep talking to him, because his name is Abel.
Oh,
and I know he can do everything but fail. Get out of my bed sometimes, and I say, Gee,
oh,
sweet Jesus,
oh,
you all I have. I'm begging you, don't leave me. Don't leave me by myself. I can't make it without you. Hold my hand.
Amen. So I'm saying, he said, he's begging the Lord, please don't leave me. I don't think you have to beg the Lord not to leave you. All I think you got to do is believe. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is our program for today. If you didn't get it, if you heard something today that you didn't understand, Sister Mary might clarify it for you tomorrow, but we don't usually do that. But, you know, Sister Mary can run it the way she wanted. Just in case it's something that you didn't understand today and you want to get a better understanding, tune in tomorrow, and Sister Mary probably will take out her time to go along with it, depending on what it is. I can't speak for her. I just know she's a godly type person, and she's here to try to help anybody that's in need. So with that being said, we're going to transition over into this other program, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in today and listening, and God bless all y'all. And if it's God will, everybody be safe and happy. And like I said, don't forget this coming day is Mother's Day. And like I said, some fathers out there are mothers because, you know, it is what it is. So I really might want to speak on that later on. A father could be a mother, so also. You got aunties and nephews and uncles that's mothers, too, because it all depends on who took care of y'all, really. We better could understand that. We should have brought it up today, but we didn't do it. We'll get into it, though. Just stay, y'all just be around. We have a special program if we have to. Well, with that being said, let me get old Wheelchair in and see what he got going. He was over there asleep. He was over there trying to go back to bed. What's up, Wheelchair? How you doing today, brother?
What up, Willie? I like Boston tonight, dog.
I ain't talking about no basketball. I ain't thinking about no basketball, man. If I go there,
I like Boston.
I'm going to go in there and cook me.
I like Boston.
All right, Boston. Boston over who? Who Boston Glenn?
Milwaukee. The Bucks.
They free Greek. They Greek free. Okay, we see, I'll take. We don't supposed to do that. I don't supposed to let the prayer warriors know we gambling. I'll take Milwaukee for a soft 20.
Lock.
We locked. We right, got Marcus Smart still hurt. He ain't even playing tonight. I trick you.
I don't care. I like Boston now.
All right, it's a bet.
All right, but y'all. All right, me and Dog are locked in for the night, y'all. The game is on now. Y'all can see the final results in about 2 hours. But we got some upcoming events. MGMP got Mayhem at the Zoo. Lance and Travis up in Piedmont got Carolina No Time. That's this weekend, May the 7th. On May the 15th, A Time to Grudge at Phoenix City. That's G-Thing. May the 20th. Oh, and also on May the 14th, you got Josh Lowe, John Dillinger. He over there in Montgomery. May the 21st, still Alabama. You got Tommy Allen, Dwayne Benn. Get It How You Live. And King of the Street at MGMP. May the 27th, you got Clash of the Carolina, Mike Hill in Darlington. He got a big one coming up with that lock-in. I think the rematch of King Kong and Saudi B. On June the 4th, Get Down or Lay Down and Shade Aside. June the 10th and 11th. Dope Medication, Orange Bird, that Jamie Triggerman Hall's race. He drive backstabber. And on June the 17th and 18th, got Ring of Fire 5 at MGMP. And dog, I'm working on some big stuff. Just be in the house. All I'm going to tell you, get out and support who you can support. All right, Willie.
Willie, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Willie?
Yeah, I can hear you, though. Y'all
can I'm trying to look. I'm getting all kind of people calling me want to bet the same way you bet. Y'all must know something. Let me go check the game out. Is the game already gone or something?
Yeah, the game already just started. Yeah.
Oh, Boston up 7-0. Okay, no problem. That ain't nothing. They just started 7-0.
They were just tipping off when I bet it, dog.
It's okay. I thought there was something going on since everybody. I done got 3 chases. I want 20. Man, I'm saying somebody trying to trick me. Devon, your 20 a bit, Devon. Devon, your 20 a bit. Your 20 a bit, both of y'all. You and Winchester, both of y'all a bit. Riggy! What up, Riggy?
Did you get a text from Bobby Cole earlier today?
I did. Why?
Oh, shit.
I just wondered.
You told him to text me of him?
That man texts me something very nice and everything. So I was like, man, I got
to
feel it. He texts everybody the same damn thing.
Everybody,
we a bunch of hoes or something.
Ricky thought he was special, dog. That's what he tried to tell you.
Shit, I did too. Nah, I'm mad now. But anyway, hey, look here. I'm finna close y'all mics up. Don't go nowhere. I got something for y'all. I'm finna close y'all mics up. I got something for y'all because I ain't talking dirty today. I feel good today. I got to go get off the phone. I got to talk to Sister Mary and Brother D and Tim House. I got to go talk to them brothers and sisters. Hold on a minute. Let me mute y'all phone. Everybody. Kid, I ain't muting your phone, kid, because you my main man. Ricky, thank you. He tried to be too big a star. He tried to take his glasses off and take pictures. Hey, kid, can you hear me, kid?
Yeah.
I'm finna run down 6 names for you, kid. I'm finna run down 6 names. I want everybody out there listening. If I ask you the question, I don't want you to add nothing. No names. If the name that you don't like it on here, if you hit the 1 button and you want to address it, just address it with the names I give. So pay attention. And don't try to add no more names to what I'm finna add. And if I ask you, the question I ask you, you answer dealing with those 6 people and don't add nobody. If you do, I'm cutting you off. All right, here you go, kid. You listen up, kid?
Yep.
Jeffrey Barker, Marcus Burke, Ricky Stambro, Trigger Man, Marquise Haddon, Daniel Ray. Now, that's six names I named. What you think them names got in common? What you think them names is? What them names is, Keith?
Well, they are running 484 motors.
Well, hold on, hold on. How you know they all got 484?
I would assume they all running 484s. Let me put it the other way.
Well, okay, come on. All right, what else?
They are no time shootout racers.
Okay, you're doing good so far, kid. You're doing good. Come on, what else?
Shit, that seems like they all trying to race. Yeah.
But kid, ain't no wrong answer if you asking it. I mean, I just want to know what you think.
Yeah. Well, that's my two answers right there. That's all
okay,
I got. All right,
no problem. Stay right there. You good. That kid, you did good. It's 301-2147. That you, twin?
Yes, sir, dog. It's twin.
What about them six names I named? What you think about them six names I just named?
They trendsetters in the grudge game right now.
And what is a trendsetter? Describe trendsetter because, Trick Elite got me messed up there at night. Sometimes I don't understand what they mean.
Oh,
what do you mean trendsetter? What is trendsetter?
Trendsetter meaning somebody that's paving the way for someone else, setting the standards.
Okay. All right. Is that way you want to say it? Okay. All right. I don't know about paving the way, but setting the standards I can go along with, but paving the way I can't go. Okay, what else you got? What else you think about them six there, Twin?
Right now, dog, they are the hottest names in grudge racing right now.
Oh, good point, Twin. You doing all right, boy. You just look dumb, Twin. You just look dumb.
Uh-huh.
Pajo, I'm coming to you, man. Quit texting me, Pajo. You on the show? Quit texting me, Pajo. Thank you, Twin. I'm gonna go and close you up because you did good there. Twin almost got it. Kid, you didn't do bad. I'm just saying, though. Wheelchair, what you think about them six names I just named there, Wheelchair?
Like they said, them are the hottest drivers driving these 5 inches smaller cars. They grudge races, some of them class race, and them some tree cutting out jokers.
Oh no! Wheelchair, I shouldn't open his mic. Wheelchair, I stroked him up. Pajo, what you think about them six guys right there, Pajo? Pajo, what you think about them six guys I just named, Pajo? Pajo trying to be racist
like,
and
like
shit, man. Pajo being racist, I'm a day black, and come on, Pajo, come on, man. I had to call Wheelchair.
One black guy, Trigger Man,
black, Marquise black, Marcus Man black, Ricky Stanford, damn Indian. Yeah.
They got hard. They ain't scared to race, and they can handle pressure.
Good point, boy. Y'all, I had to cut Wheelchair off because Wheelchair almost told what I wanted to tell. He already, I ain't over his mic no more tonight. He messed my whole show up. Let me find Ricky. Ricky don't pull the answer. I named six names on there. What you think about them six names I just named, Ricky? What you think about those six names I named, Ricky?
Five of them names that you named are some badass, cool guys, and the other some bitch is just a damn crooked-eyed redneck.
Ricky, just cause your name on there, I'm asking you a serious question, so don't joke. I'm asking you serious. I'm coming back to something, Ricky. I named six names.
A bunch of guys that really like racing and really passionate about racing and really like good competition and stuff. Hello?
Damn, Ricky, you cut him off?
I don't know what happened to him. I thought that was me that cut off.
He must have fell off his high chair.
Damn.
Hey, man, I don't know what – can y'all hear me? I hung my damn self up.
Yeah.
That's what I tell you, Ricky.
That's what we say. You fell off your old chokes.
I cut my damn self off, Ricky. But anyway, I'm finna close you back up. Wheelchair. Hold on a minute. Don't y'all blow up because I'm holding everybody the mic back open. I'm holding everybody the mic in a minute, though. I got to close it back up. Now, wheelchair was kind of hit it on the head. He was going where I was going. Them six people I named right there is some bad boys, and they running some of the top seven, eight cars. They drive some of the top seven, eight cars. Now, the question I was going to have is, and when wheelchair almost told on it when I was talking about they tree cutters and all that, I've heard through the grapevine today that a couple of these people on here are scared to race each other, not because of the cars, kid. It's because of their driver. Now, damn, I'm going to open everybody's mic back up, and y'all tell me what y'all think about that. I got something to add to that, but I heard a couple of people scared of the drivers. It ain't the cars they scared of. They don't want to go up against the driver. Now, anybody want to talk about that? Y'all mic back open.
Pressure bus pipes. You gotta be on you gotta be on your game when you facing any of those six drivers. And if you late, you can't catch gone.
Since you jumped your dumb ass out there and took kid please, and you jumped your dumb ass out there. I'm finna put your dumb ass on the spot, and this is a humorous dumb ass guy. We having fun right now. If you had to pick, guess one, and I don't want nothing. You just pick one, and you can tell why you picked him, and I don't want no excuses why you didn't pick the other one. Which one would Twin pick out of them six people if Twin had to have somebody to drive his car for $1 million? Which would you pick, Twin, and why?
Me, I would pick. That's tough.
Yeah. Why you think I asked you. I told you to pick one. That's why I told you to pick one.
Me, I'm going to say.
I don't want no excuse.
I'm going to say Marquise Hatton. Not because I'm from the DMV.
I didn't ask you to explain yourself why, but I was going to say that. But why Marquise Hatton? I just told you to pick one and tell me why. They ain't tell you the alibi why you picked him. Come on.
Because he's one of the up-and-coming young drivers. And frankly, dog, when he get in that car, he don't give a fuck. He do his job, and he do his job to the best, just like all six of them do.
Go on mute, Glenn. I got you. All right, kid, pick me one, kid, and tell me why. Pick me one and why. That's all I want to know, one and why.
Kid going to say Marcus Burke.
Shut up. Did I say go on mute, Twin? Go on mute. I don't want to mute you. Be quiet. Once I tell you to go on mute, guys, don't talk because you know I'm doing. I'm writing something. Come on, kid. You got to give one. Ain't no excuse about it. I don't know. You got to give me one and a reason.
I'm gonna go with Ricky.
Okay, come on.
Because he seems to be a good light color, from what I can tell.
Okay, but that's a poor excuse, but okay if that's your excuse. That's a poor excuse. All of them are good. That's why I put them on here. But come on, I can't change your answer. What else you want to say about it? Anything else you want to say about the kid?
No, that's it.
All right, you ain't got to go on mute, kid. Between, I don't want you to send them there. Wheelchair, you got to pick one and why. Wheelchair, you got to pick one and why. That's all I want to know, one and why. Wheelchair. I see wheelchair gonna make me mad. I'm trying to be
What up?
Out of those six names, you got to pick one and why. All I want to know is the one you want and why. I don't want to know nothing else. I don't want you to say nothing else but one and why.
If I had to pick one,
yes, sir. But if you got, they was driving your car for $1 million. One and why. All I need to know, one and why.
I would have to go with Jeffrey because that's who we're using now. And I like what he does.
All right. I'm going to close the mics up because I know when I said some people are going to be rebutting. See, now, people are picking who they – and I know this Twin pick, Marquise, and he was going to say, I didn't pick Marquise because that's what I like about the DMV. Wheelchair just picked Jeffrey Barker because he said that's why he's using them now. Now, those two answers to me are weak answers, but they're good answers, but they just go to show you how people think. Ricky Stanberg, I hate to put you on the damn spot, but since you're Michael, Brother D, quit texting me. I'm coming back to you. Quit texting me. Ricky Stanberg, which one you pick? $1 million. Who's driving your car? Which one would you pick, Ricky Stanberg?
I'd have to pick myself.
Why?
I just been in a bunch of big races, and it really don't affect me either way, good or bad.
Good answer, Ricky. Good answer. I'm closing you up. Damn good answer. That's what I'd be looking for. Good answer, Ricky. Good damn answer, Ricky. Good damn answer. Good damn answer, Ricky. That's what I'm looking for, guy. Keep your mic open. You can talk when you want to, kid, because you know you got cock bunk. Let me see what D want. I don't need y'all. I ain't asked for the pick who y'all want yet. Okay, but I see. Okay, I'm going to hold me out if you're on there. Yes, sir. All right, I'm going to go to the Texans. I'm just going to write them down, but I wanted to get answers. 706, 9659 is whoever that is. Hold on, I'm going to come to you. Just don't keep going in and out. I'm coming to you. All right, Flop said Ricky because he's a seasoned veteran and make no excuses when he loses. I like that answer. Just because I like something, don't like it, don't mean I'm right, y'all. Just cause, don't get me wrong now. Ain't nobody got no wrong answer. D said Jimmy, so I'm going to open him up and ask him why. I got to ask him why. He didn't tell me why. Brother D, you said Jimmy. I need to know why.
Right, I see Jamie because he's young, energetic, racing a lot, having good lights, and through all his clowning, I haven't seen anything nerve him yet. And until I see
good,
that,
I'm cutting you off. I know Kia Devon said Marcus Burke. He's not on the show, so I can't ask him why. So I'm going to leave it at that. Y'all just bear with me, kid. I'm going somewhere. So far, I'm getting y'all to start thinking, instead of just your buddies, y'all start thinking the good answers. I done got some real good answers. Hold up now, Cowboy. You can't answer that, Cowboy. You can't answer for your damn self. Damn. All right, but I got to open the mic to hit the one, but I got to open it for him. Come on, Cowboy, Jamie, who it is? I just need the answer, and
yeah,
I just need to know the answer and why. Give me an answer. Jamie. Give me who, Cowboy, and why, Cowboy.
Jamie, because he cut 01, 02, 03 all the time.
Cowboy, just say good light. Don't get no numbers, Cowboy.
Okay. But good light, then so don't none check him. And then I got to die with him. I got to go with him.
All right. That's a good answer. That's a damn good answer. Now, we had, like I said, the answers, everybody has good answers. But now, everybody had good answers. And some of the best answers I would think was, you want somebody that you done studied, that you see done been under certain circumstances. They don't quiver. They don't bother them. The pressure don't bother them and all that. That's what I was looking for to say. Most guys, I hate to say it, when they do, they're going to pick the person that they that drive their cars or they who they like, which, you know, they ain't nothing wrong with that either. That's human nature, kid. But I did get some of y'all to start seeing what I was just trying to say, and to be honest with you, the people not named, shit, they can jump in anything. All of them some bad boys. I'm opening everybody's mic back up, and y'all can discuss it, man. I was just trying to see how y'all gonna answer. Y'all can discuss it. Everybody mic back up.
Hey,
your wheelchair.
I'm gonna get my answer.
I'm
gonna go
Come
with
on, pal.
Marcus Burke because of his experience of driving, high caliber cars, and I might be wrong on that, but to me, I don't know who was driving Uncle Sam before him. I don't know whether there was another driver or not, but after he got an Uncle Sam, it seemed like it picked up and ran better. Because I think
I got what I wanted. I wanted everybody that's listening to see the variety of things and why. And sometimes you can pick, just like when Brother D picked Trigger Man. Now, that was a good answer because you seen Trigger Man go out. I even told Trigger Man myself, how you can go out there and act a fool, run your damn mouth, jump up and down, shout, and then get in the car and do your job. Mm-hmm. I asked Trigger Man that. If you don't believe, you can call him that. Now, everybody's going to say, why? Well, everybody know Trigger Man, my man, but I'm trying to say, Brother D seen the same thing I must have seen. So that makes me feel good, like I got a good idea.
You know what
now,
you do,
I Jeffrey Barker. Hold on, just let me do my thing. Let me do my thing first, then y'all come in. Jeffrey Barker, he got professional experience, and it's hard to beat him. He's going to stage the car the same way. It's hard to beat him. Marcus Burke. Now, Marcus Burke, and these people that made to me Marcus Burke better, because Marcus Burke to me was a trigger finger man. He was apt to go red light because he always was so wound up. To me, he done got better because he used to red light. Ricky Stanbrook, like flopped, and everybody said, and he said himself, I done seen Ricky over the years. He been steady, and Ricky used to drive more cars than Trigger Man and Tony Bynum drive together. Ricky used to be at a race. I seen Ricky drive damn near 10 cars at one race. And had the good lights on every one of them. And Marquise Haddon, I never see Marquise Haddon upset. He just seemed to be a calm young. I can't picture Marquise Haddon because he just looks the same all the time. But he does his job.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Ray came from a bracket racing and he became in there. He don't get into much of the bullshit we be in because he don't be in the same circle. But I put them six guys on there just for y'all to see it. Come on, Brother D, tell me what you have to say, Brother D. Come on in there.
Yeah. I was saying I picked James for the reason that I gave, and this is what you just said, and that's what I saw. Throughout all this hooping and hollering and spitting on everybody, when it's time to get in that car, it's like he's a whole different person. And then another thing I look at, he's got a lot of experience that we're not looking at. He come up on the world of best. Now, they think I don't like him, but he come up on the world of best, and he was taught well. And you got to take all that into consideration when you look at who you want in your car. Then it calms down. Like, it's like he going in freeze mode as time to get in the car. And then as soon as he get out the car, he back hopping around and how they jumping again. You know, I like drag doing. It's like a carbon copy of it. Be this way, freeze in the car, and get back loud. That's what you want in the car. You want the chance in that car with no nerves, period. And that's why I picked
it. One thing
I can say about Trigger Man is that Trigger Man walks that line between confidence and cockiness. All good.
Somebody got background noise. Everybody know who you might. Hold up. Somebody got background noise, guys. Put your phone on mute. It might be Tim Miles. He might not know it's Michael. But
I was on mute.
Come on, Twin. Come on, Twin.
Trigger Man knows how to walk that fine line between confidence and cockiness. All great athletes know how to walk that line, and they handle it very well. Some people look at it as cockiness. Some others see it as confidence. But when he steps into the car, he knows how to put all that aside and do his job. Then when he gets out the car, he's back to Trigger Man again. Like that is a hell of an athlete right there. That's an athlete.
Come on, House. Okay. Come on, Tim. Tim House. What happened to Tim?
Yeah, I was on mute.
Yeah, come on. You said you had something to say. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that. I was just saying that a lot of those guys have a lot of experience driving multiple cars, very, very fast cars. So I had to go off to all of them, but they really, you know, when you're able to handle that kind of power and be confident, like my man say, then you don't mind putting somebody like that in a car and hoping that they'll get the job done for you, because they definitely can handle. You got to have somebody who can handle power, man, because that them cars will do something nasty to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ricky, you feel that, Ricky?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, Ricky, as a driver, Ricky, does a guy that you know that's pretty good on the tree, does that bother you? Does that change you? Or how does that affect you as a driver, Ricky, when you know the guy in the other lane is just as tough as you? Does that bother you at all?
No, I just know then that we're going to be relying on the tuner because, you know, we're going to be leaving really, like, side by side. So, but, no, it don't really affect me one way. I know what I have to do and where I need to be, you know, so that's just kind of what you got to do is just do what you're supposed to do. Do the same thing every time. It's mainly muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know,
Hey, cowboy.
Hey, dog.
Yeah, yeah, come on, D.
You know as you said.
Yeah, dog.
You know as you said for $1 million,
right? Hold up, guys. Hold up, guys. So what, D?
You know as you said for $1 million, right? You want that guy sitting up in that car? You want me to drive for that meal? You want me to drive for that 500 the same way? You want to be this aggressive.
Hey, cowboy.
You have
a
mic open,
too? Yes, sir, dog. Yeah, your mic open. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Who's that
want to say something? The Danny boy.
Come on, Danny.
I got a question for some of the drivers, Ricky, Trigger Man, and all the guys. Okay, you know, like I heard somebody mention athletes. So as athletes, a lot of athletes, they say they play up to their competition. Okay, so I hear drivers say, I do the same thing every time. So that means no matter who on the other side, do you do the same thing every time, or do you try to perform up to the competition?
That's what I just asked. That's what I just asked Ricky on that, Danny boy. I just asked him that. That was the question I just asked him. And he said that he's just going to do the same thing every time, don't care what.
Yeah, I know Ricky did, but I'm going to ask some of the other, because I know I done heard drivers say, when they get ready to go, okay, per se, one time Corn was getting ready to run against James, okay? Fonte, to me, it makes him better. It makes him better when he go up against some guy. He say, he you know, like, dog, if you already say, oh, this guy ain't that good, do you go up there and say, I'm going to.
No, that's what I know what you're talking about. Ricky said it didn't make no difference, but to me, I think if you know a guy pretty tough, you might try to step your – you might do something a little bit better but it's hard to say, Benny, boy.
Yeah, we can't say lying. We can't say lying, but most people, competition bring the best out in you, though. Like, if somebody you beat off the tree all the time, you might not be looking forward. I guess you won't be looking forward to just – I guess, but if you got the same routine,
I can't talk for the other guys, and I don't know what they think, but for me, I'm always trying to be, whether I have to use a delay box or whatever, and it depends on the car I'm driving, but I'm always trying to be 20s on the tree. And if I race somebody that I think is really tough, I'm still only trying to be 20s on the tree. Because I've done it long enough to where if you try to get any faster than that for just one person, then that's when you go 001 red or 002 red, and then you lost a race before it ever even started. So that's why I do everything the same way every time. If I get beat going 20s on a tree, I just get beat.
Okay. Well, we can't. I mean, we got to respect that, Rick.
And it's funny you say it there, because I asked that same question, Ricky, Big Drag, and Drag told me he tried to go 15-20. Same thing you just said. Yeah, brother.
Anything faster than that, you're tickling the red light.
You're
sweating
the
red
light. The same thing you said. I asked him that, and he said the same thing you just said.
But I think that's a good way to be, Ricky. I don't think nothing wrong with that. But I know some people are more competition driven. So, you know, some people are like, hey, they're not so much worrying about the number as a 20 as to this motherfucker right here talk shit all the time. He's supposed to be a bad motherfucker. I'm finna beat his ass on the tree. I think some people think that way. I can't guarantee that, but I believe some people.
Well,
you're right, but just say
you go 005 on a tree and say I go 021. You know the only person that would know you beat me on the tree would be you and whoever you showed the time slip to, because you can't see that on no Christmas tree. You know, you can't see 200s.
So let me put it another way, though. That's why I have to stop cowboy. I want to stop cowboy by the number. So Ricky, you kind of said when you driving those cars for them kind of cookies that we be running for, and you said so you basically saying 020 light is a pretty damn good light. Them 00 lights or them 012 or them dim lights, they couldn't have lit it too close unless they got a delay box. So you saying a 20 is a good margin to go by, Ricky? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, of course you run a delay box, you can take a couple of numbers out, you know, and go low teens or high O's, you know, and everything. If you think you need to, and it just depends on what kind of race you're in. Like in Enos, yes, I was working the delay box, and one round I was triple O on the tree, which scared the ever-living shit out of me.
Okay, Ricky, stop. Anybody disagree, Ricky, with that 20 light? Anybody disagree? Come on in here if you disagree. Then why? Anybody disagree? Now, Ricky, what if you got a good reacting car and you double O and you just double O anyway and you ain't got no delay box? What about that then?
Then I try to make it to where that I can slow myself down just a hair, because if you ain't got a delay box and you're that fast on the tree, then you have no room for, you know, all it takes is anything. I mean from daylight to dark or from one lane to another or whatever, or you go in, you know, a half an inch too much, you know, and then boom, you're red. So you don't have a lot of margin there. In bracket racing, we always was trying to be double up. I mean, but that's in bracket racing.
I asked you nicely. One man talking. Everybody else might should be on mute, man, with all that noise, man. Please, come on, guys. I'm being nice tonight. We're trying to get some education.
Yeah, what do you mean?
If you ain't talking, if it ain't you, you don't have to say nothing. Just don't. If it ain't you, don't worry about it.
They don't.
Just whoever it is, just put your phone on mute.
They don't.
Yeah, Cal. Yeah, Cal.
Yeah, Jamie ain't got no delay box. And then when Jamie go out,
I
give him all the confidence he needs. I say, go do what you do. Don't stop it. Whatever you do, you continue to do it. And that's what he do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead, Ricky.
If you're doing the same thing every time, and so you don't let the results just be what they be. I mean, if you ain't doing nothing different, and just say the car might, I mean, the track might react a little different on the car, so you say you bag off then, so you don't be doing the same thing because you're going to bag off.
Oh, good report, Danny. In a car that is
reacting fast, I don't back off. It depends on the car.
Well, I heard if you slow yourself down a little bit.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, look at what he's talking about when he's
delay box. If I'm driving a car with no delay box and I'm going in, I'm barely turning the bottom bulb on, you know, barely getting in, just turning it on, and I let go as soon as I see amber, and it's double O or triple O or something. Yeah, I'm gonna change my placement of how I'm putting my thumb on the button to slow myself down, because I'd rather be a 20 than go red. If you go red, you're done. You have no chance.
That's right. That's right. I understand. You saying anything to you better? Anything better than a 20 to you? You flirt with the devil.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't care to try to go double O every round in heads up racing. I just don't. I want a little bit more padding than that.
So what you're saying, you're satisfied with a 20? You know, you get a 20.
Yeah,
If I go 20
every pass, I'm happy. If somebody goes 001 and beats me over 19 thousandths of a second, then they just deserve to win the race anyway.
So Ricky, in like a photo finish race, so if you go a 20 and they go whatever number you just said, that double O what,
And then the race is a photo finish down there. So you don't think that going better down the 20 would have helped in that race? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, for sure. You know, it depends on, like I said, depends on what you're doing. But there again, if you take something out of the box, you can go, 005 or better. And you go red, then the race is through then. But yeah, if I was to go 20 on the tree, and we went through there, and I got beat, I really didn't care what the other guy went or whatever. I just got beat. If that makes sense to you,
Daddy boy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Daddy boy. Would you rather have 3 or 4 double O lights or consistent 20 lights? Which one would you rather have?
Shit, as long as he ain't red lighting, give me the O.
I ain't asking that. That ain't what I asked you.
But there it is. You said, would I rather have double O lights, consistent 20s, consistent a double O? That's what you asked.
Okay. I ain't saying about no red light. I said, which one would you rather have?
I want the best light.
If they have consistent 20s.
All right. Anybody else got another answer for that besides what Danny Boy said? Anybody else?
I like consistent 20s.
I think I do too, kid.
He didn't say the other light, but he didn't say the other light wasn't consistent. He said, would you rather have consistent 20s?
I said, would you rather have 2 or 3 double O lights or consistent 20s? That's what I asked you.
Oh, no. Give me consistent 20.
So Ricky, now we done seen a couple of close races. So you trying to say if I'm 004 and you 020, That race ain't gonna be that. If he beat you with that, you satisfied with that ass whooping with that? If that's what they took to whoop you?
Yeah, I am.
Anybody disagree?
I want them double O's.
Yeah, we all want them, cowboy. But them double O's is you flirting with double O red too. So you mean them double O's flirting with that red, cowboy?
But we've been doing that the whole time. We've been doing that the whole time. Fucking with
Cowboy, don't tell on your girl, cowboy. You're telling too much, cowboy.
I'll give y'all six examples.
Hold up, Ricky. You're a regular. Come on. Hold up, Ricky. You're a regular. Come on, D. And D, you already preached today, so you got to stop talking so much today. But come on, D. You ain't no regular, so come on.
Now, I was about to say that when you was asking the question about the regular, those double O's here, that I think you, when you said consistency, I think you're going to win way more races with those constant 20s than you are flirting with those red going in 001s and 002s. You know, it's common knowledge to know that you're flirting with the devil. So why do that when I can take these 20s? And like Ricky said, it's going to make a whole lot of sense. Only somebody going to know that you actually beat me off the light is 2 people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Come on, Ricky. Hey, before Ricky says something, though.
Okay.
I'll be trying to stop. Okay. Hold up. Before you get started, Ricky. I'll be trying to stop. Now, I asked the question earlier. Y'all might have missed it. I said, what if a guy got 00 lights all the time and that's just what he do? And I talked to him about it, but I didn't want Cowboy to tell it. Cowboy keep telling it, but I told it too. But come on, Ricky.
Enos, Texas, my worst light in 6 rounds of racing was a 011. My best one was a perfect triple O0. Well, it's actually with 4 zeros and a 5. It went out 5 places. Okay, turn around. And I got the same stuff in the lay box and go to XRP, and I'm 005, 008, and everything, and I leave. No, I put 5 in the box, just 5. thinking, hey, if I was 005 my last pass and everything, I'm going to go, you know, 010. Well, guess what? I was negative 02 red first round. That's why I put a little what I call insurance in the box. I went out first round against a car that was 0.3 slower than me probably because of red light. I had no chance to win that race. That's why I like being upper 10 and
Low 20s. Good information for racing people. Good information. Now, does a good reacting car got anything to do with your reaction time? Does a good reacting car got anything to do with your reaction time?
Most definitely.
Well, your big mouth ass, I didn't want you to always do it, but go ahead and explain it, Ricky. I'm trying to get some new blood in there. Go ahead and explain what you mean by that.
I mean, well, some cars, it just depends. Just for say, everybody remembers Karma, you know, that car, you'd see it a bunch with just one wheel up and the other wheel still touching the racetrack, had a lot of body flex and stuff like that. That car did not react good. So it was how we staged it and a quick transbrake button and stuff like that. There was no delay box because you didn't need no delay box in that car, you know, and so there's a bunch like that. And then some react better. It depends on transmission, converters, everything, and body flex and everything else.
So in other words, Ricky, I could have a better light than you, but Cowboy looked at it and thought he left before me. Explain that. I could have a better light than you, but it looked like you left before me. Explain that.
Just that's 60 foot. That's all in the first five
ding,
five,
ding,
10
ding.
Feet
okay,
of
there,
that
there you go.
The car.
There you go. Hey, see, y'all let Ricky answer all the questions. I was trying to get everybody involved. Ricky Big Mouth is answering all the questions, but those are some correct answers and some stuff a lot of people don't understand about racing. You can see, it might seem like, you know, man, that man killed you on the tree. You come back, I didn't kill him on the tree. I had a 012 light. He didn't kill me. But that means he just had his damn car wreck. He got a better 60 foot and it made it look like he beat the shit out of me out there. Oh. That's something a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't understand that. Matty boy, you still out there? Ricky, we having a tech talk question, but ain't nobody asking me a question. But Ricky, everybody else quiet. Y'all must be learning something. Y'all learning something? So, Ricky, explain the reaction, since anybody talking but you and me. Explain the reaction time on some cars go up and some cars go out. What that mean? Some cars go up and some go out.
Typically, if your car is going up, then your reaction time is going to be quicker. But a lot of times, if your car is going up, when it first initially moves, you are more apt to go red, depending on what track you're at and stuff like that, because the lasers that cross the finish line are not but about an inch off the pavement. So if that tire comes up, your reaction time is going to be better, but you also may be just red as you can be. So you want it to roll. That's what whole thing of called rollout. It's that tire rolling out of the beam.
Good report.
In bracket racing, we was always, you know, in bracket racing, you're always trying to, you're on the 500s tree, but you're always trying to be 00 something on the tree, 005 or better. Well, I've went red before because it got nighttime, not because I was any faster on the tree, but we, you know, driving cars that had big slicks and wheelie bars, and the track would get tighter. So the car, instead of, you know, the spinning of the slick, it would kind of dead hook, lift the front end straight out of lights, and boom, you'd be red.
Danny boy, you still on here? I gotta get all of it though. Danny boy, what did Danny boy? Danny boy had to go back and sell a car. So. Danny boy,
yeah, dog.
All right, Danny boy, I need you to listen up real good, Danny boy. I don't want you to put nothing in my doggone equation. I just want you to answer my question, but don't put nothing in my equation. Danny Boy, you got to race for $1 million. You got to race for $1 million. Listen up. You got Jeffrey Barker, Marcus Britt, Ricky Steinberg, Trigger Man, Marquise Haddon, and Daniel Ray. Which one of those you going to put in that car for your $1 million, Danny Boy? And why?
I would probably go with Trigger Man on that.
Why?
I just feel like in a big race like that, I just think Trigger Man is going to be, I mean, he don't let shit get to him. I don't think the money will get to him. I don't think nothing will get to him. He's like, he going to go do his job. And not saying the rest of the guys won't, but that would just be my choice. I mean, and if I couldn't get Trigger Man, I would probably just...
No, hey, you're doing good. Hey, you're doing good. I told you don't add nothing. You did good.
I'll go with Jamie on a big race like that. I'll go with Jamie. And I got my reason.
Hey, good report. Good report. See, guy, what I'm trying to show everybody out here, everybody got different preferences on what they want and whatever. I was just trying to put guys' feet to the fire today to show y'all that just because somebody picked somebody else don't mean they hate on the other person. It's just that's the way they feel because that's the way they feel, you know.
Right.
So.
And
I'm trying to show y'all. I'm trying to educate the regular fans on him that when people pick somebody, it ain't that they hate or they whatever. It's what they feel. Individual, all of us got different individual feelings. Now, when it comes down to just grudging to talk about it, quite naturally, we normally go with our people that we like. But now, that was a good answer that Danny Boy gave, and it was an honest answer. That's why I told him don't add nothing. Now, he wanted to add something because he thought the other people might feel offended because he picked a Trigger Man. Well, they might feel offended, but Danny Boy said he wanted Trigger Man for his money, and why? The rest of them, like I said, ain't nobody on there. You can put all these guys in a barrel and pull them out, and all of them will probably do the job. But it's personal preference on, you know, I might like brown shoes. Daddy Boy might like white shoes. That's all it is, guys. I'm trying to get everybody to see, stop going with hate just because somebody don't pick who you pick. It ain't hate just because he picked the man you didn't pick. It's just different. There ain't no hate.
No.
So good answer, Daddy Boy.
No, it's
just like picking Kobe, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. They all good, but everybody got their preference. They all great.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Daniel. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
That don't mean the other guys ain't no greater, ain't no better, you know. That just be my preference. That
it's and just that a race, damn preference. A damn preference.
And in a shootout race, Jamie, in a shootout, I got another guy that I like.
I'm glad you said that. Sometime in a shootout, you like Ricky Steinberg, don't you?
I like Ricky, and I like the McCain boy too. I like the McCain boy.
Well, hey, don't add nobody today in there. We ain't add nobody today. Today we not. We just going to what we got.
I'm
like you though.
In a shootout situation,
I like Ricky Steinberg. I'm like you, Danny boy. I like Ricky Steinberg. Yeah. We weren't there today. We were going with what we got. We was and I think some people might see the light from the Texas I'm getting. I think some people understand it. And I'm, like I said, Danny Boy, I was trying to get away from this. Just because you don't pick a man, it ain't no hate. It ain't hate. Everybody wants to say hate just because you don't pick.
Hell no, I don't think Cowboy hate. Hate me or got no hate toward me. I'm my camp or my team. But I don't think that's the track with Cowboy. Cowboy come on and say, hey, Danny Boy. He got him on the race. I think y'all beat you guys. Let's go race. And then the guy looked at Cowboy. Well, Cowboy got the race up. The guy looked at Cowboy and say, who you bet with? Cowboy put that little look on his face. He said, yeah, motherfucker, I thought you bet with them. That's fine. Cowboy said, who y'all finna run? Cowboy said, who y'all finna run? We told him. Hold on, Danny Boy. I like the other guy. I like the other team. How much you want to
I want to bet his money.
You bet, and you pick, and you got preferences, and your preferences ain't the same as everybody else. I mean, I just like that's everything in life. Everybody ain't got like the same person on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to competition.
Yep. Well, I got. I was just trying to do something
okay,
good
dog,
to make
let me ask you
this,
dog. Let me ask you this, dog.
Oh shit,
hey, dog. Let me ask you this.
Come on.
So if it's hate,
come on.
If people think it's hate, okay. If you on a big grudge race and you at the track and we all up there on the sideline and you got 30, 40 people bet pointing this way and 30, 40 people betting the other way, so do that mean they hate the guy because they ain't pointing to his side?
No.
You know what everybody's betting? When them cars pull up, they start putting their hand over left lane, one pointing over the other.
Yeah.
Them people ain't thinking about no hate or who is it.
Right.
They thinking on, hey, I think this car going to win for my money. They ain't got nothing to do with no hate.
Exactly. You know, once we get in these settings, like you said, O'Donnell boy, that's where you get down to it. Oh, you bet it with this young man. You must hate. I bet it him because that's who I thought was going to win.
Some of them people be betting don't even know who the hell them folks is. They bet with it. They just like that side. They say, I like this side. And when that light come on,
exactly.
They jumping up and down like they check shit. Yeah, like they
Thank
love
you.
And they don't know who the hell you
Thank
is.
You.
When
don't
the next
know
time
you know who it
down,
is. Yeah.
You forgot
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
You forgot about you. They ready to bet on the next one. The red car won.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. Who next up? I like this side.
Yeah,
that's all it is. There ain't no hate. But there are some hate. I mean, there are some hate out there, too. But, I mean, it ain't every time somebody do something, it's causing no hate. So.
Now, somebody just asked me, hey, now, Danny boy, I took Rick off the hot seat, and I appreciate Ricky. Ricky gives good insight, man. I like that. And, you know, Rick and Key and them are boys. Now, somebody just texted me and said, could I do that with the tuners? But I won't do it with the tuners. Now, that'll start some shit now. I ain't going to do it with the tuners, man. I won't do the tuners. I'm not going to do the tuners. Because, see, technically, the tuners make that they living in. You know, sometimes somebody might have said something out the way and it's going to start some shit. And I don't like to mess with nobody's livelihood.
Well,
go ahead, Danny boy.
Well, I want to say this in the tuner's defense. Every time something go wrong, it ain't the tuner fault. And every time you blow the tires off, it ain't the track fault. And every time it's a – sometimes it like Witt said, this shit just written, man. You're going to have good days at the track and you're going to have bad days at the track. And point singles – ain't gonna change nothing. You either coming home with an L or you coming home with a W. You can make
hold up, Danny boy. Hold up, Danny boy. So you said pointing fingers. That's what I want you to stop right there. Now, if you're pointing fingers, Danny boy, that means your teammate titles is supposed to be if you point fingers. Is that right? Because that's a team thing. You're supposed to win with a team and lose with a team, right? You don't vote to point fingers.
Team get together and make decisions who they gonna run, and they all know what's going on. And the results should change the way you feel about the teammates. So if your teammate red lit, he red lit. Y'all, I red lit right along with him. We all got a red light right along with him. And, oh, man, we told him he shouldn't have did it. No, that ain't nothing. Because all that does is cause problems and friction between the team. And at the end of the day, that L still going to be standing right there. So when you jumping up and down with that W, You ain't gotta jump up and down, but don't nobody like to lose. But you need to lose gracefully, just like you win. You can't do that. A good team can't do that.
Well, now, Danny boy, before I want Ricky to answer this. I want Ricky to answer this after you, though, because now Ricky ain't got to answer. Somebody else can answer if they want it. But Danny boy, I'm gonna ask you this question. Now we was talking about these drivers. Now normally, drivers of this caliber normally don't drive maybe one car, maybe two at the most. So driving different cars. Does that make a difference on their ability to drive? Because the reason I asked this question, and I'm going to tell you why, is because everybody said that Daniel Ray wasn't used to driving Tate car, and maybe that's why he went red. Is that you think driving different cars got anything to do with it?
Well, let me tell you what I think, and nobody might not agree with this. That's what I think. I think cars react different.
And I think if a driver going up there and doing his same routine and that happened, I think he will learn. I think it don't never hurt to have experience. I think the more reps he put, he sit in the seat, I think he will figure out more about the car. But I don't think the way he's driving and all that, I don't think it affects that. I think, you know, he, it's just like when you first
Cowboy,
drive around the bus.
Cowboy, get Jamie on. Cowboy, get Jamie on. I need to have Jamie here. Cowboy, get Jamie on.
Hey, dog, Jamie, get him.
Okay, Jamie, I need to talk to Jamie then. Jamie. Before Jamie says something, get him on, tell him I need him. Ricky, answer that same question
Ricky
that Danny Boy just said.
I mean, because each car is going to react different and everything, and if you depending on, I don't know how many passes he made in it, you know, so that may have something to do with it, if he didn't make any passes or not, but. You know, once you make a couple of passes in a car, you kind of know how it reacts and what you need to do far as on the tree. Now, but there again, you know, he might have been trying to cut it close and just went a little too far with it. You know,
I be quiet. We can listen up. That's enough. A couple, you got Jenny on yet?
Yeah, he
what's
on.
What's up, dog?
Trigger Man, I got a question for you, Trigger Man. We've been talking a lot of stuff and. So far, you got popular on this end, so I don't know what the hell's going on. You popular on this end shit, too, your side red. But, Jamie, I know some of the lights you cut, and you know me, and you talked about it. Now, Jamie, do you cut them good lights in all the rest of them cars you be running, or just that certain car you cut good lights in? Or do you cut them in all the cars?
No, I cut good lights in all the cars, dog. Some of them just react a little different. You just have to know. Like, in some of them cars, like, I got the shallow stage in some of them versus more than the other. Ghostbusters, Keisha, Backstabber. I mean, I can't really go in deep in them cars because they, you know what I'm saying? Romeo is just, you know what I'm saying? It ain't as tight, but it is, you know, I still cut good lights in it.
Good
but
that's what
them
I'm
three,
for.
But them three, I just cut better lights because. You know what I'm saying? Like, they different. You know what I'm saying? Like, they
no,
react.
No, we got it. That's what I'm – y'all was on it. Danny Boy, you see them saying? Danny Boy, I told you, boy. See, y'all doing some good professional tech talk stuff tonight, man. That makes sense. I hope everybody listens to that. Report,
but, dog, it's – it's kind of hectic, though, as far as like when you in and out the car. You got to remember, you know what I'm saying, like what car you in, you know what I'm saying? I drive so many, you got to remember what car you in to be able to shallow stage, you know what I mean? It's a lot.
That's what I was getting at.
But, dog, let me touch on something with you.
Let me ask you this, Jamie. So repetition means a lot, right? I mean, like, when you first got in, one of those cars, either one of them, just pick either one of them. Let's say Ghostbusters. When you first started driving, because I remember when, you know, you jumped in Ghostbusters. Okay, so, well, you cut a really, really good light when you first got in it or after so many runs in the car that your light get better? Did it get better?
When I first got in Ghostbusters, I started off what I'm pretty much cutting up. Same thing with Keisha. Now, when I first got in it, my first
no
light in Keisha was a 6.
Hold up, Danny, and Danny Boy. I don't want y'all to get too much. I can tell you, Danny Boy do good stuff, and then he messes his own thing up. Danny Boy, I'm going to tell you why. See, Keisha's a well-built car. Ghostbusters, I was going to get to that. It's the best well-built car. If you got a well-built one of them top-notch cars, they well-built, that makes a difference, Danny Boy. Sometimes you can just be, you can jump right up in and do the same stuff. Go ahead, John.
Right. Well, that's why I say, like, Keisha, when I first got in it, Danny, my first light was a 16 in it. When I first got, you know, when I first got in it, my first light in it. But like I said, of course, it's better and around, you know what I'm saying, it's better and around that. It might be a little
okay.
worse, but it ain't gonna be too much worse than that. But like I said, man, all them cars
guess,
is
But hold on, well, let me say something about Dog. What I was getting at. About the lights.
Okay.
Let me say something about Dog with the lights. What he asked me, and Dog, you know, he been getting on me, right? But like I told Dog, you know, man, until I see something, I thought they say you don't they say you don't fix nothing that broke.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, Dog keep telling me whatever I'm doing gonna bite me in the ass. Well, I mean, I understand what he's saying, but you know, is this until it happens?
Now,
I
did tell him, I asked him first, and then when he told me that's what he did, I said, well, okay, if that's what you do, then keep doing it then.
Oh yeah, you did say that, Dog. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, like delay boxes and that such a thing. I don't want no delay box because, number one, I don't know how to work a delay box. Hell, Tony put a delay box in there, and Whit was at the 3:30, and Tony was still at the start line. So, shit, Tony
damn,
put her ass number in the delay box. So, but I know.
Well, I really don't know
Ricky
how to work a delay box either.
Right. Yeah. But listen, though, I don't want no delay box. Because, for number one, I ain't guessing at no tree, and knock on wood, I haven't been on the other side. You know what I'm saying? Delay box. In order for me to need a delay box, grudging and that such a thing with the lights I cut, I have to be cutting on the red lights maybe 2 out of 8 times for me to say I need a delay box. I haven't went on the other side. So I'm gonna continue doing what I'm doing. A person, you know what I'm saying, to me, I don't know about everybody else, but I do damn near the same thing. I got a routine. So I do the same thing in all cars. And what I mean by, I ain't going to say all of them because all of them got different.
Well,
But if I was going on the other side, you know what I'm saying, 3 out of 10 times, then I got to make some adjustment. But until
your phone kind of messed up, Jamie. Come on, Daddy Boy, come on with another question, Daddy Boy. Come on in here, Daddy Boy, with some more shit. Daddy Boy.
Hey, okay. Hey, dog.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Trigger Man, and Ricky. My question is, when you have a big grudge race, do you like to go in first or last?
I can't answer that question.
Yes, you can, Ricky. Hold up. Yes, you can. Answer the question, Ricky.
No, I'd rather not answer that question, really.
Okay, Ricky don't want to give away his secrets. But now, Ricky could answer that question.
No.
Hold up. Jamie, answer that question.
Well, I watch my opponents, to be honest with you.
Answer the question, Jamie.
It don't matter to me.
Thank you. That's the answer. That's the answer, Twin. That's my answer. Now, don't get me wrong. I know. See, everybody think Tony Bryant invented that double bug shit. I'm going to go with that again.
Well, dog, you invented that, dog. Yeah.
I know, but let me explain it to him.
Yeah.
Let me explain it to him, Jamie, then I'm going to let you talk. Hold on, Jamie. Let me explain to him, then I'm going to let you talk. That double book. I seen Tony Bryant red light 7 fucking times because he rode through the damn light with that ragged-ass trainer bag like we used to have back in the day. So I said, okay, fuck this. I'm going to go in there and turn both my bulls over, hit my trainer bag, make sure it's still holding. And that's where that double book shit come from. But like Jamie said, you study your opponent. Now, Jamie might like to go in last. But if the other man go in and make him wait, it don't bother him because he done did it before. So that's the answer. Ricky didn't want to answer. Maybe he didn't want to give away a secret, but he could answer. Come on, Jamie. Y'all talk now. I'm on mute.
Oh, yeah. No, that, like I said, that's just like, you know, certain races I watch, you know. Yeah, even DJ McCain, Wayne Butler, Tony Wright, them some second-bubbing people. So it's all in knowing and watching your opponent. They might try to change up, you know what I'm saying, in a grudge race. But certain people, you know what I'm saying, I watch, they got that mentality. You know what I'm saying? Like they were playing like Tony Bonds, he'll play in the lights. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, ain't no need being in a rush when you, running Tony and other people, you just got to watch your opponent and know their strategy. And then you also, while you're watching it and learning their strategy and knowing that person, you still also got to prepare for a flea flicker. You see what I'm saying? They might change up on you. So you still got to be prepared for all, you know what I'm saying, at all times. You know what I'm saying? So, all
right. Yep.
Yeah, you got to be
Ricky, you want to answer now, Ricky? Ricky, you want to answer now, Ricky?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah. Hey, dog. Hey, dog. Check this out, dog. Well, Ricky ain't got it. Listen, dog. That's just like I say, mention like, and I use Wayne, like I said, because Wayne, he changed up a lot of different times, but Wayne, he'll try to stay there, you know what I'm saying, like go in second, and he try to come on top of you. So in some races, you know, like if you got two bulls lit, then you try to go, you know what I'm saying, go in. Some races try to come in right on top of you, you know what I'm saying, and some people can do that.
Wayne Butler,
so that can catch you off
like
guard.
Wayne
that man will come
like
in
it.
On top
Wayne
of you
like,
and
yeah.
catch you off guard.
Wayne Butler like to do it. Dayton Miller like to do it, too. I be watching dude. Dayton Miller like to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You like to come in right on top of you. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. Most of the time, like you say, most of the time, in a big race, most races, you know.
Hold on, Jamie. I got somebody that just sent me a thing that ain't really true. Now, he said track rules on the line. Track rules, none in track rules said you can't double bull. It's courtesy stages. Some tracks call it courtesy stages. But even with that track, with the double bull thing, you can still double bull if the other guy don't come in. That's when the starter will bag you out. But there's no track rules that you can't double bull. It's just courtesy staging. It's a difference. Don't get it mixed up, guys. It's called courtesy
right.
staging, not track rules. It's courtesy staging.
Right.
Come on, Jay.
Well, I think like in a grudge, you know, like in a shootout, like duck num race, I don't think you can double bug. You can, you know what I'm saying? But like you just said, you said it right though. Yeah,
they have double bug at duck's race. But like I said, if you double bug and the other man is still and you see he ain't going in, then what you call them will back you out. That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to ask Phil. They told me to ask Phil. I'm telling you what I know about this. The officials, that's if the other guy don't go in.
Yeah.
But if he
let the other.
Yeah.
Right. If the other guy goes in, then they just let it go. They just let it go. Yeah.
So
Anything else you got for me, dog? I've got to go back on mute up before I get
down. Yeah, go ahead. All right, Jimmy, you good. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Right. Stage, but you said track rules, David. You know, it ain't track rules. It's just courtesy stage. Courtesy staging is really coming from bracket racing. In grudge racing, normally there's no such shit as that. Courtesy in my head. So, you know, so... It can be confusing. It can be a mix-up, though. But like
I ain't gonna lie. I love somebody double bug my ass. I love it.
Cause you gonna let them sit in there, Ricky.
No. There ain't no telling what I might do, but I love it. It always works out in my favor when somebody double bugs me.
Mm-hmm. We was at Macon down there. A guy was trying to double bug me. Hey, Ricky, we was in the shootout down there in Macon a couple of weeks back, and a guy double-bulled me. I looked over there and laughed at him. I said, you done double-bulled me? I let him stand there for a minute, and he looked at me, and as soon as I let him come down, I rolled in on his ass, and he tore his ass.
See, that's what you do. You do what, you know, you just watch people. And I people that I race that like grudge race.
Yeah, William Brown.
I watch how they like the stage and everything, and you just try to take what they normally do away from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, the main thing about it that don't bother me when I say I can do it anyway. Now you go to the track just like we was down at Memphis this week, and everybody down there. If you don't know. When you go to somebody's house, you got to know what they're doing. Auto Start was on every, don't care what you're doing, grudge race or whatever. Auto Start was on. They didn't take Auto Start off. So if you went up there and hollered, okay, let's go, just like when Leon got counted out, all those stars was on. He got counted out. You got to know that. So
right.
If you want to go there and double bug me, you want to go there and double bug me, either I come in and be ready to go when I put my first bug on after 7 seconds, or I let your ass sit in there and burn your old damn motor if I want to. That's going to be up to me, though, Ricky. So it don't bother me if you go there. If you want to go over there and play, I love to play. I can play both ways, though.
Yep. That's right.
All right, guys. Any more questions on that? We had a good discussion without any argument. If y'all got any argument, I'm not going to start it today. But if y'all got argument you want to start, you can. If you don't, we can go in there and watch the basketball game. My neck is feeling better. I got a surprise coming out in a couple of more weeks. So I'm telling y'all. I'm gonna be real nasty here. I think I'm gonna be real nasty.
Well, that's good that your neck is better.
Yeah, it's doing way better now, Ricky. I'm feeling way better tonight, baby.
Good deal.
I'm ready to go chase them girls now.
Hell
yeah. Hey, kid.
Where you at, kid?
Right here.
There you go, Dwayne.
You was a wood dog at a Bobby's race this weekend, right?
Yeah.
How many of those moose knuckles did y'all take back with you?
What the hell is moose knuckles, man? I think somebody asked me that shit. What is moose knuckles?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is either. Twin gonna tell us.
Hey, dog, you know what it is? You said it on your live feed.
You talking about them girls? You talking them girls coochie?
I mean, you the one said it, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, I didn't say no moose knuckles. I didn't say it. anyway, all right, guys. I'm sorry that I got y'all on here tonight without any controversy, but we just in a mellow mood now. After a big race like that, we gotta cool down something, man. So we cooling down right now, y'all. So y'all just stand by. I will get some controversy stirred up for y'all on the next show. So don't y'all stop coming on though. But anybody got anything? Anybody got anything, Ricky? You got anything, Ricky?
Oh yeah. Happy birthday to the truck driver. Kenny Rain.
Fuck truck driver. Oh, Kenny Rain. Okay. Anybody got anything? Five Joe. Talk to me, Joe. Five Joe, you got anything? Big Al. Brother D. Anybody even want to talk to me, kid? Ricky don't want to talk to me. Real Jeff.
Negative, dog. Negative.
What, hold up, D. D, I know they gonna hang up real quick, but before they hang up real quick, D. Yeah, get us out of here with a prayer, D. Get us out of here with a quick prayer, D. Hurry up.
Low Rider's about to make his return. Father God, we come once more again just to tell you thank you. Father, we thank you for allowing us to congregate together once more again. On top of congregating together, Father, we thank you for allowing peaceful minds and calm tongues to be. Lord, we ask you continue to bless us and continue to keep us, guide us as we go through our daily lives. Lord, we love you and we truly place no one above you. Father, these blessings among men, we ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Let every heart say amen. 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 Hey, my brother.